Welcome to Season 3 of Hashing Out the Law. I'm your host, Arash Hashemi. Throughout my career, I have been asked a lot of questions and heard a lot of comments about public defenders. It amazes me how little people know or think they know about public defenders. So I decided to invite my friend and colleague, Jacqueline Davalos, who is a real-life public defender, to come on the podcast and set the record straight. I hope you enjoy. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Hashing Out the Law. We're in our third season. I'm your host, Arash Hashemi. Excuse me. Throughout my career, I've been asked a lot of questions about public defenders. Some people ask me, are they real lawyers? Some people say, well, I want to hire a real lawyer. I have a public defender now. Some people call them public pretenders. Some people say, well, they work for the DA. They don't work for me. So with all these myths flowing around, I decided to ask my friend and colleague, Jacqueline Davalos, to come on and talk to us about the public defenders and their roles, especially since she is a public defender. Good morning, Jacqueline. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. So you technically work for the alternate public defender's office. And the way that works is if there's a conflict with the public defender's office. Could you explain that briefly for our viewers and our listeners, how there is two public defender's offices and how one takes over when the other one has a conflict?
Yes. So anytime there are two or more people charged on the same complaint, meaning that there's co-defendants, the public defender's office, which is the big office, will do their conflict check, take the person that they can take, and then we take the next person. And obviously, when I explain it to clients and say, oh, we have taken your case, the public defender's office has declared a conflict, it's because, as you know, as an attorney, you can't have one office represent multiple people on the same complaint absent an explicit waiver from the defendants. So we're the office that takes the conflict cases, and for people who haven't gone through the court system, it's because, you know, it could very well be that people who are charged on the same complaint are going to be pointing the finger at each other, like, it wasn't me, it was him. So you need separate attorneys that only have the best interest of that one client. So that's where we come in, when the public defenders can't take everybody or two people on the same complaint.
So you technically, it's a different office. It's called the alternate public defender's office, but you guys are public defenders as well, for lack of better term, correct?
Correct.
And then could you tell us a little bit about how you got started with the public defender's office? A little bit about how you got started in law in general.
Sure. So I went to law school. My parents are Mexican immigrants, or immigrants from Mexico. And, you know, seeing their struggles and seeing the struggles of my uncles and aunts who not only were here already in the country, but were trying to get here, I thought I was going to get into law to do immigration. And of course, come law school, I am introduced to criminal law. And it was just so fascinating. And I don't know how I didn't guess that that's what I would want to do, because I had before then, I mean, watched years and years of Forensic Files. I mean, you know, all this true crime. And of course, that's what drew me to it. And then I entered in law school at the San Diego Public Defender's Office for, I think, 3 or 4 semesters, and loved it, loved being in the courtroom. And afterwards, wanted to be a public defender. I've been a public defender in three different counties. And this is the where I am now is Los Angeles, but it exposes you to everything, which is really interesting.
Which other counties were you public defender at?
The first one was Merced County, which is, you know, Central Valley, very small area. The second was Kern County. So I'm getting closer to LA. Right. And then came to the alternate public defender's office.
Well, if that pattern continues, are you going to work southward? Are you going to go to Orange County?
No, I'm staying here.
I'm just teasing you. But okay, so you decided to become a public defender. By the way, I noticed you said you went to law school. So public defenders do have to go to law school, right?
We are real lawyers. We choose to be a public defender as opposed to, hanging up our shingle. You know, and I tell people sometimes, I'm like, as a public defender, you know, we have supervisors and colleagues who are keeping us in line. Whereas if you get somebody straight out of law school who hangs up their shingle, there's no oversight. That person, you know, I mean, isn't getting that guidance. I mean, hopefully they are from somebody they know, but they're not necessarily getting it.
Right. So that leads me to my next question. You become a public defender and you're a young public defender, you started, and it's not like you get thrown in the fire without any guidance. You have actually people helping you, teaching you, and directing you, correct?
Correct. I mean, they do a little, but they're always there. You know, they send you to go do it, but of course, your supervisors are always there. Your colleagues who have been there before you are always there to help you and guide you and tell you, you know, this judge does this, or this is what we do here. So, I mean, for somebody who doesn't feel experienced enough once they get out of law school, well, I mean, nobody's experienced when they get out of law school, but going to the public defender's office, you do have that guidance and support from the office to help you along.
So let me ask you this. You're in Merced County, obviously a completely different county than Los Angeles when it comes to being a public defender. What was your caseload like in that county?
It wasn't bad. There were only two of us when I was there. Two of us and an intern who was taking cases just like we were. It was not that crazy. I mean, not like Kern County or Los Angeles County.
Let me ask you this. When you said there was two of us in the entire public defender's office, there was only two of you?
No. So when I started, it was misdemeanor. So in the misdemeanor assignment.
Okay. And then you go to Kern County, obviously a bigger county when it comes to caseloads. And how was your caseload then? And how did you adjust to that?
So in Kern County, the caseload was probably, I mean, I would say double what I have in my assignment now at the alternate public defender's office, even though Lancaster is a very heavy, that's where I am right now. It's a very heavy caseload, heavy branch. But the difference is that Kern County, even though you had a couple hundred cases, I don't know if it's just the way they organize everything, they streamline everything. So they had days for you to interview clients in the office where you don't have any court dates, you don't have cases just randomly popping up. You always know when your cases will be on calendar. There's none of this pickups or anything. There's a designated court for that. So it was a lot more organized, and, you know, that's because of course it's a smaller county, so they don't have to shuffle all these custodies everywhere. So Bakersfield is the Kern County seat. It was the couple hundred cases were more manageable just because of the way they organized the court hearings.
Right. So you had technically more cases when you were in Kern County, where they were more manageable than the cases you currently have now, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so tell us a day, and I want you to tell us a day how it is in being a public defender, but I want you to tell it so the public understands, because I've seen public defenders in action, and I know you guys work really hard and you guys have a lot of cases, but the people, the general public doesn't realize that. So give us a brief description of a day in the life of public defender.
Okay, so for us, you know, we show up to work, we think, you know, we have a number of people on calendar that we know are going to be on calendar, but that has really no bearing on what your day is actually going to look like. So you have, you know, the ones that you're prepared with, and you've already spoken to the clients, you already know the case, you're going to court to handle those. But in between those that you have to handle, the court is also handing you cases and saying, here, this person's here, this person just got arrested, is in lockup. So they're just handing you cases. So of course, these people are already either in custody or they've been waiting in the hallway for somebody to come talk to them. They're already in court, or at least in the hallway. And so we receive those cases, have to conflict check them. And often, you know, sometimes, of course, they're angry because they haven't talked to anybody. They've been waiting, but we just got the case. So we have to go out there and tell them, hey, we just got this case. this is what you're charged with. Like I said, I just got it 5 minutes ago. I could give you what they're offering, but if you want to sit down and talk about it, or talk about, you know, witnesses we should talk to, we're going to have to continue this case.
And then some people, you said they get angry. I don't want to generalize, but you correct me if I'm wrong. It's like working maybe in retail. You don't know who's going to walk in the door that day. And then when they do walk in, you have to give them customer service, and they're never satisfied with the customer service you provide them.
Right. I mean, these people already come to court feeling aggrieved, you know, like they've been wronged. Like, why? Most of the time they're like, I shouldn't be charged. So they're already feeling wronged. And then they come to court, they're waiting for somebody to take their case. And of course the public defenders, they have a ton of cases. So they're just working through the piles. And when they declare conflict, that's when we get it. And so that's why sometimes, you know, we're just the bearer of bad news that they're already not happy that they're charged with something, that they have to be in court, that they've been waiting. And then of course we come with more bad news saying, here, this is what you're charged with. This is what they're alleging, which is never pleasant for anybody. But I mean, all we could do is try to help them through it and try to get the best for them.
So let me ask you this. A lot of people say, well, the public defender works for the government. They work with the DA. And I think that's a misunderstanding because of what they see in court. But tell us why people think that. I mean, I know the answer. I want you to tell us why people think the public defender works with the government or works with the DA.
Well, because we are in court. So we're not an attorney that they go seek out themselves, you know, from their choice, that they go read reviews on and choose and then say, please help me on my case. We just show up in court with their complaint, right? We're the first person to tell them, as we're holding their charging document, we're the ones telling them what you're charged with, what your offer is. And a lot of times they're like, you're trying to make me take this. And you know, that's the misunderstanding as well, because I say, no, I'm not trying to make you take anything. You don't have to take anything. I'm legally obligated to recite the offer. That's my obligation. Whatever you do with that information is up to you. But also, I mean, we are paid by the county, but we're paid by the county to go against the prosecutors and to fight for our clients. And yes, we're in court all day. And when these clients are sitting in court, they're seeing us go to the prosecutor. We have to talk to the prosecutor about almost every case, unless it's just a simple continuance. But if they see us be, you know, I don't know what they expect us to look like when we're discussing with the prosecutor, but yeah, maybe if we're like smiling or talking about a case, they're like, you work with the DA, you know? And of course we don't, but we do have to work with them to try to negotiate. I mean, to negotiate, you have to have some sort of civility, some sort of rapport with the DA to convince them to do what you want them to do on a case to benefit your client.
That actually brings me to my next point that I was going to touch upon, but you did yourself. You are in court all the time, and you do have an interaction with the district attorney because you're there, they're there, you have to, you're conducting your business. And it doesn't mean that you're friendly with them. I mean, you have a cordial interaction with them because that's the way it is, and people take that the wrong way. But couldn't that be actually to the client's advantage because you have built this business and professional relationship with the DA because you interact with them every day? Couldn't it work in the client's benefit in a sense where the DA might give you a better plea bargain, or the DA might be willing to negotiate more because they know you and they deal with you every day?
100%. I think building rapport with DAs is very beneficial. Just because they get to know you, they get to see if you're reasonable. I mean, obviously, if you're going to a DA and asking for a dismissal on every case, regardless of the facts, that DA is not even going to take you seriously when you're trying to negotiate with them the next time.
Stop asking for dismissals on all my cases is what you're saying.
That what?
So I should stop asking the DA to dismiss all my cases.
I mean, if it's working for you, I can't imagine it is, but, and, you know, and clients will tell me that they'll say on the first day, you know, this needs to be dismissed, ask them for a dismissal. And I say, you know, everybody here in this hallway wants us to do that. It doesn't work that way. They're not going to just dismiss cases. If they took the trouble of filing them, they're not just going to dismiss them. But yeah, it definitely helps for them to get to know you, especially when prosecutors will see if they already know you and they know that you're willing to fight on cases, you're willing to make them work. You file your motions, you file your suppression motions, you set cases for trial. Those DAs are going to be more inclined to negotiate with you, because they know you're going to make them work. And that's really, I guess, that's the leverage that we have, is being able to make them work. And if they know, okay, that public defender or that attorney isn't just going to make their client plead, you know, they will go forward and fight, then of course those DAs know that, and that's going to be more incentive for them to try to negotiate something that's more reasonable that your client will be more willing to take.
So let me ask you this. A lot of people say, I have a different public defender every time I go into court. How true is that? And if that does happen, if public defenders switch, is there a reason for it?
Yes. I mean, there's always a reason for it, but public defenders are county, right? They're employed by the county. So Los Angeles County is huge. So there are branches all over Los Angeles County. And the office is going to have to transfer people now and then. So there's transfers of people every year, every year there are, but most people try to keep people in their assignment for a couple years at least. So there's the transfers, but there's also, you know, during COVID, I mean, we're a lot of times working from home. So we're having colleagues stand in. And I, you know, there's clients who complain too. And it's like, where's my attorney? It's like, they're not here today. You know, and I have to explain, like, we work together. It's okay. Like, they've told me what to do on your case. And again, it's because they don't have that. The one thing people do complain about is it's hard to get a hold of us. It's hard to get a hold of us because we're in court all day. So it's, we don't get these office hours that a lot of other attorneys enjoy. But yeah, it's usually us covering for each other or transfers that we can't help. But all we could do is make sure that we communicate with our colleagues and assure the client we're communicating with our colleagues. We know what they want to do on this case. They're just not here today. And, you know, she's still going to fight it and just ensure them that there's still work going on.
I have one other question. I know the answer too, but I'm asking so the public can hear the answer from you. Just because a public defender doesn't return your phone call that you make every single day, it doesn't mean that they're not working on your case, correct?
That's 100% correct. I mean, if I were, and I tell my clients this all the time now, I just say, email me, because I get calls all day. I'm in court all day. And if I were to come back and listen to all the voicemails after I'm back from court, I wouldn't be out of the office until 8 p.m. every day. And that's just unsustainable. But I have given them, we're still working on the cases. We're still appointing experts. We're still writing motions. We're still doing investigation requests and having our investigators go speak to their witnesses or potential witnesses in the case. It doesn't mean, yes, that we're not doing any work on the case. Let me ask
you this. Do you, as a public defender, feel unappreciated?
Well, you don't get into this work to be appreciated. And anybody who does is going to be sorely disappointed. So no, it's not anything we expect. I mean, yes, you get clients who will thank you for after they see you fight for them, but it's not normal. You know, I mean, this is for them, this is like going to the dentist or worse. It's like, I don't want to be here. I shouldn't have to be here. And I don't want to be here any second more than I have to be. And so of course, you know, whenever it's done, they're off back to their life. But no, we do not get into this to be appreciated, not at all.
So you don't get into it to be appreciated. Let me ask you this. Why would anybody want to be a public defender? And I know that's a general question, but let's change that question. What is it that you love about being a public defender?
I love that I get to be paid to help those who are most vulnerable in our population. So people that really, really need the help, we get to help them. And you know, if you're private, you're limited by the people who can pay you and what they can pay you for. So even if somebody comes to you and says, hey, you can correct me if I'm wrong because you're in private practice, but if they say, hey, I really want to fight my case, you know, you might quote them, okay, this is how much it costs for pretrial, but a trial is going to cost you this much, and you might want to get an expert, and you might want to do X, Y, and Z, which ties your hands, because if they're not able to provide that money for the experts or for whatever you need, then you're not going to be able to go forward to trial. And with us, when you're a public defender, you have complete autonomy to handle your case. Obviously, yes, you have your supervisors, and as long as they know you're doing your job and making sure you're doing everything you're supposed to do, but really it's you get to handle your cases based on obviously what your client wants from to get out of the case. And if you want to fight for somebody, if you want to fight for some homeless man who got his tent torn and now he's being charged for, I don't know, resisting because he's trying to prevent law enforcement from taking down his tent and taking down all his worldly belongings, you can fight for that, for people like that, and bring that to a jury. And it doesn't, you're not charging this man any money, and you still get to fight for them. And that to me is very satisfying. And just being in court, I mean, doing that every day, again, like I said, they're not all turning around and saying thank you, but we get our satisfaction by knowing that we are fighting for people who really have nowhere else to turn.
Is there anything you like to say, or any comments that you have, or any answers to a question I forgot to ask?
Well, there's a common question, but this is probably for defense attorneys in general. The question of how do you defend somebody you know is guilty?
Yes, how do you do that?
So easily, right? There's a reason we're called counselors. And I know you know this, right? But for those listening, and we're called counselors because we have to advise our clients. And what people don't understand sometimes as well is that when we're speaking to a client, we have the discovery, whether it's videos or pictures or whatever, that already came from the prosecutor. So if we have a video of our client doing it, and or very much looks like our client, and any other person would say, yeah, that looks like the client, then it is our job to advise them, hey, they have a video of you. So if you want to fight this case and go to trial, your chances will not be good, because they're going to think this is you because that really looks like you. So when somebody is guilty on its face or through the discovery, I mean, it is our job, I think, to tell them, to do damage control and tell them, you know, I can't go out there and say that's not you because everybody sees it's you. So, you know, we advise them maybe what you should do instead is we can try to negotiate something so that you get the least amount of time instead of going to trial and losing big, and then the judge can sentence you to your max. So yes, we're counselors, we're advisors, even for guilty people, but we could always advise them that it's not going to pay off if they try to take it all the way.
Thank you. I wish I could keep you here for hours and hours so we can discuss life as a public defender, because I think the people really don't know how hard public defenders work and how much they benefit society. But I think you after listening and hearing you, I think they should find it, or I hope they have found a new appreciation for public defenders. I see you guys in action. You guys work really hard, and you guys are really passionate about your clients. And unfortunately, people don't realize that. And I wanna say thank you on behalf of everybody else. And I wish that you did get more appreciated for the work you do. It was a pleasure having you on. I wish you luck, and I hope anybody else who is contemplating being a public defender after listening to you pursues that, because it is an honorable profession.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on, and I wish you luck.
Thanks.